Welcome to the Point Forward podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinels, J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski, an over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Point Forward podcast, Milwaukee Bucks chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. I am joined by Jim Ozarski, Bucks beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The Milwaukee Bucks are down 3-1 in their series with the Indiana Pacers. It is so much worse than that. What could be worse than that? Well, you already know. Damian Lillard leaving game four in Milwaukee with what looks like, looks like a really bad Achilles injury. And everyone seemed to think that in the moment. There's still some medical, some tests to run as we record this, but come on, you've seen it. You know what the sports, you've watched enough sports to know that unfortunately Damian Lillard suffered a very significant injury that's going to surely keep him out of this playoffs, possibly longer, probably longer at this point. Jim, just for starters, we'll go into all the implications. There's a lot of them, least of which, honestly, is this series, which feels very much over, but we could talk about that too. What was the room like afterwards? I mean, I know it went late into the night. It was a very late start on Sunday night at Pfizer Forum. I have to think people were pretty devastated by what happened here.
Yeah, I mean, the air went out of the arena, and this is a series of emotions and tense, rivalries and trash talk, and home court advantage is important. And like the Bucks were trailing, the Pacers were hitting a bunch of shots again. Defense wasn't great. And then Damian Lillard gets hurt to a point where I think every player on that court knew what happened. Doc Rivers said post game, I knew right away, and he didn't have to elaborate. Right. And so there's just that natural depression, both from the fans and the team. And, halftime, Doc Rivers said, look, everyone went to the training room to see Dame. He's like, it's kind of hard to get the group together and try to lift everyone up and rally. And so the Bucks, look, there were moments they were within, 10, 11 points, which in the modern NBA is a run away from tying the game. But it just, they couldn't really pull themselves out of it. Then kind of got back into the talk and stuff with the Pacers, which, as we've talked about, JR, is not good for Milwaukee. So it just kind of snowballed into a blowout loss. And, if we keep it to basketball, JR, I mean, look, it was just game one of the series where they didn't have Damian Lillard, right? They didn't think he was going to play at all. And so, there's literally a game plan from a few days ago that has a couple tweaks from things that have worked in the last few games, that even though there's been a couple losses. So athletes are resilient. I think, once they get to the facility today and get on the plane and go to Indianapolis, they'll be focused on game five, JR. But yeah, like it in the moment for the game, I think it just flattened the entire team. And then, obviously going forward, it really flattens the Milwaukee Bucks. For what they can and can't do for next season.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about that, and we don't have a lot of time, so we're going to skip over some of the humanity stuff here. Like just how this could be a major moment in Dame's career. Like, is he going to play basketball again? Probably, but like that, if it's as bad as we think it is, it's at least on the table that this is going to make that a lot more challenging. But so we're going to skip some of that. Is there a scenario where this Bucks team can still rally back from a 3-1 deficit without Damian Lillard? They'd have to win twice in Indiana. They have not looked good. Even game three, I feel like game three, they looked good in the second half, but they really had to kind of find the best version of themselves. 37 points from Gary Trent Jr. is one of those outlier games that you usually get from Fred VanVleet against the Bucks or Pascal Siakam in the past. I mean, this is it kind of required everything to go right. I felt like Damian Lillard struggled, understandably, coming back from his blood clot to get back into the groove. He looked really it took a while to get going in game two. Is there any scenario where you think this team can pull this together and win this series?
Win the series? I mean, probably not. The math says no. The last time it happened was 2020. Denver did it twice. Doc Rivers was on the other side of that, and that was in the bubble, right? So the last time this happened in a legitimate sort of playoff travel road, all that stuff, was the 2016 finals, Cleveland Cavaliers coming back against the Warriors, which again, extenuated circumstances, but for that to happen, you need circumstances. So, it's happened five times this century, JR. So technically it's a better chance than down 0-3. You know, so if you're the Bucks, you're going to hold on to that hope, you know. Not that there was defiance post game, but, you know, the way they view it is the proper way, which is you have to win one game to get to the next one. And can they win one game, JR? Yeah, they can win one game. I think going into this series without Dame, I thought if they won one in Indiana, they could win the series. I thought they could hold serve at home court. Indiana's not very good on the road, but obviously things change clearly. So no, I do think they can win one game because there's going to be some changes that will benefit them. Like Gary Trent and Ryan Rollins in the backcourt is different than game one. You know, better 3-point shooting. Ryan Rollins is not afraid of the moment. Kevin Porter Jr. actually, JR, when Dame got hurt, Kevin rose to the occasion offensively, provided a spark with 23 points. That he wasn't in that space in game one or game two. So, you know, win the series, probably not. Win game five and get it to six, JR. I think, look, they did it last year when they were down 3-1 without Giannis, without Dame. I could see the back against the wall thing going on there, you know, to extend the series at least a game. And then, you know, then of course we'll see how they want to spin that going forward. But series seems unlikely, but I there's a path to extend it at least back to Milwaukee.
Barring an unlikely comeback, it'll be three straight years that they have dropped out in the first round of the playoffs. Obviously, the injuries have everything to do with that. They are a cursed franchise at this point since winning the 2021 championship, unable to stay healthy with their biggest players. I don't want to like all of a sudden be looking ahead, but you kind of have to here because an injury as bad as we think it is going to dramatically impact next season. Damian Lillard will be unhealthy, presumably, to start the season and probably for most of the season. What if the Sharks were circling before, they're circling even more now. Now you're hearing, well, they have to trade Giannis. I mean, it's gone from maybe Giannis could be interested here to like, well, they have to. It's the only move they have to stay competitive. I don't think that's true. I don't think you think that's true, but what is the path forward? Because we already knew there were going to be a lot of moves. I think one of the moves low-key would have been finding a taker for Damian Lillard and maybe recircling the wagons around Giannis one more time. I don't know if that was ever in the cards, but what is the path forward if Damian Lillard is unavailable for the vast majority of the next season?
Yeah, JR, and even if he were healthy, you know, and they lost in the first round, it all starts with Giannis. I think that's just a non-starter. I understand we'll hear about it all summer, but I realize this is a devastating injury. It changes the outlook for next season. But I don't think Giannis is the type of guy who would say, oh, a guy got hurt, let me get out of here. Like, he's not built that way. I don't think the team is willing to just say, oh, you know, 2,000 fans at Fiserv Forum. That's what we want, right? Like, it's just, look, Damian Lillard is going to make $56 million. They have to pay that no matter what, JR. So, there's no rebuild. It's the NBA and that's where everything goes. But no, you have Giannis Antetokounmpo and they were going to reshape the roster anyway, JR. Like, they have to. It's the way the contracts were set up. So the team will look different. You have Giannis. And is this the unplanned sort of rebuild, retool year, I'll call it? Because I think if you have Giannis, JR, like, you're still, 44 wins was the number 6 seed this year. That's barely above 500 basketball. Like, they're a playoff team with Giannis, JR, like they are. He's going to be in the MVP mix. You know, so.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Positive, Jim?
Yeah. Yeah.
I cannot agree with that. I mean, everybody's got a star, Jim. Everybody's got a star. I don't know. Yeah. You know better than me. I will take your word.
Yeah. They're not. I mean, I guess, look, and here's the thing there, JR, he'll probably play 65 games. 63 games maybe, and that'll be the key. I mean, obviously Dame helped them through the games Giannis missed, so we play 65 games, okay, like, may play in, but it's an unfortunate injury. It's kind of hard to look ahead at, you know, does Bobby Portis opt out? Kevin Porter Jr. probably opts out. Gary Trent Jr. is probably gone. It's the same thing as Beasley. They can only offer a couple $1 million more than the minimum to Trent. You know, Torian Prince is probably gone. So, but conversely, JR, they have actual money to spend. You can't replace Damian Lillard. You know, there's no injury exceptions. There are no disabled player exceptions for this. It's just a lost, it's a sunk cost. Even if, you know, Damian was evaluating his future in Milwaukee, which honestly, JR, was probably a fair thought to have if they were lost in the first or second round, like he came here to win. You know, this isn't Kevin Durant as a free agent, right? Where the Nets, that was part of their plan, and that, again, sunk costs. Like, he's under contract. The Bucks are not going to – there's no charity in the NBA, right? Like, some team with $56 million of cap space and be like, we'll take him for nothing, right? Like, there's no – the Bucks have some draft assets to use, JR, but, you know, you can't really use that to sweeten the pot to get off a contract, you know, so it, I mean, I guess you can, but it seems, that doesn't seem great, right? I mean, we'll see how things shake out. So yeah, it's not awesome for sure. But again, when you have, you know, one of the two, three best players in the world, you're always in the mix. And, you know, it's up to John Horst, low key extended, right? Very quietly extended after game two. You know, so the Bucks have a lot of faith in him being able to continue to reshape this roster around Giannis. And so he's just got to do it again. And it's much, much more difficult now, though, when you miss an all-star, and a highly paid all-star at that.
All right, we're going to talk about John Horst a little bit before that. Is there anybody on this roster right now who will be a key contributor for that team next year if Damian Lillard is unavailable? I mean, besides Giannis, of course. AJ Green, like, I don't know what happens with Brooke Lopez. Kyle Kuzma has not worked out, although I think he's probably back. Like, who? Everybody else is going to opt out, is going to be gone.
Yeah, there's not a lot of guys under contract, JR. It's kind of.
I know.
So, yeah, I mean, AJ Green will be a priority. It's kind of hard to talk about, like, potential market stuff there. And they have rights over AJ as an owner.
Shouts to Northern Iowa. We did it here, guys.
Yeah. You know, Ryan Rollins, again, qualifying offer. He would probably take that. They'd probably offer it. Porter is probably the most interesting player there, JR, because he's 24, about to be 25. Brings in a dynamic element this team has sorely lacked. But they're in the same sort of constraints as the Gary Trent thing. He signed a minimum deal. The Bucks, the rules don't allow the team to offer very much money. I mean, there's some things they could do with the exceptions, whatever. I mean, there's a lot there. But with who's under contract, yeah, like Kyle Kuzma has not found his way offensively since he's been here.
It has been bad.
It's been really rough for him in a lot of ways, and it has not looked good. And so he was not brought to Milwaukee to be the third option. I don't think that would suddenly change over the summer, but I think for sure, JR, that he'd have to turn into a guy who, you know, was an 18-point-a-game scorer, 16-point-a-game scorer, and a far more consistent offensive player than they've had. You know, and then, yeah, Bobby Portis can opt out. You know, the team has to make a decision there if he does about him coming back. If he opts in, then he's here, right? So, but you're right. There's not a ton of guys under contract, good or bad. I mean, the good there is the Bucks will fill out a roster. And, you know, John Horst would have to, what do the kids say, Jared? John Horst gonna have to cook, right? And figure out a way to get this team and keep them competitive through next season.
Gonna have to cook. I would bet Bobby Portis, with the relationship he has, more likely to opt in than opt out, even though I do think he has the right to go get a bag, you know, if he can, like, check out that market, see what's there for him. But I could see him being back pretty easily. I just it's just going to be such a brand new roster. And without Damian Lillard, even less clear what comes next. John Horst getting extended happened on April 24th, I think, kind of quietly, as you said. And shocker to me. Now, you could tell me otherwise. The more I think about it, actually, the more I think it makes sense. I mean, we've talked before about it doesn't really matter if the team thinks John or if fans think John Horst deserves to go or it's time or has not done a good job or whatever. Like, is he are the people who run this team, are they comfortable with John Horst? That's all that really matters there. And clearly they showed a pretty good sign of faith in him by extending him when it seemed clear to outsiders like me, if this goes south, John Horst is going to be the guy who goes, you know, like he is the ingredient that's been here, that it would be time to try something new. But then again, John Horst has done a ton of good for this organization, unquestionably. Championship, obviously won a championship, but bold moves, you know, kind of has kept this team afloat when things could have, you know, we've seen other franchises in Milwaukee's market size and in Milwaukee's boat. Not that market size really matters here, but we've seen them go south. You know, the Dallas Mavericks come to mind. The Los Angeles Clippers have had several iterations since the Bucks got good and stayed good. The Toronto Raptors got good, did not stay good. So he's done more than a lot of GMs have. It makes sense maybe to keep him, but it is surprising because I thought he'd be the guy who ultimately falls on the sword if this goes wrong. So give me everything you have on the decision to bring back John Horst.
Yeah, look, clearly I think what you laid out, why he came or why the ownership wanted him back, of course, why he wanted to stay was, again, first and foremost, Giannis Antetokounmpo's here, right? Again, a team with that type of player. I know you said earlier, Jared, everyone has stars. Nah, not every. There's three guys. It's Joker, Doncic, and Giannis that do what they do and automatically make any team they're on a contender, a legitimate contender. And so there's that, right? John has figured out, maybe after some misses early in his tenure, of how to build a roster around Giannis, right? There's a formula there. Spacing, shooting, you know, there's some constraints. Like, obviously, they leaned into the championship core. They won a title. So it made sense to run it back with, you know, Chris and Brooke and Bot, like that core group beyond the title year. Obviously, the Drew trade, you know, trying to then change the team into a more, I guess you want to say, modern offense first time of thing. So you see some strengths there. Obviously, drafting has been not great, you know. Drafting 17 or lower is not easy. You know, Dante DiVincenzo still counts on the record, right? AJ Green counts as an undrafted hit, right? So, but that probably needs to improve, JR, in whatever fashion that is, be it undrafted scouting, maybe it's an undrafted European signing or something of that nature. Could probably get better going forward.
Or play to your strengths and get rid of all your draft picks, and then you don't have to worry about being bad drafting. That is a strategy, Jim. That's an Eddie Murphy meme.
And they do have actually, JR, believe it or not, two first round picks they can trade this summer to entice, to get another star player, if you will. But yeah, clearly, look, the Bucks have won a lot of basketball games, and they have been a championship contender for 7 years. That in this modern era, nobody's done that. Like, the Warriors have already been in the lottery. The Denver hasn't been good for 7 years, right? Like, so there's a track record here, JR, that is really just Boston that has matched the Bucks. So I think all of that is why John Horst and ownership came together again. Because you're right, it made sense. His contract was up next year. Like, if they were out, it would make sense that the team, maybe new leadership, new vision is needed. Clearly, they didn't feel that way, right? And, you know, going forward, it's a little harder now with this unanticipated injury a few days after that extension. But, look, they're not a tax team right now. They're not an apron team right now. You know, even with Dame still under contract for another year, probably 2 years at this point, he'll probably pick up that option, you know, when he comes back. So, yeah, we'll see. You know, there's things to improve on for sure for John Horst, I think. But, you know, he's been good at acquiring talent and finding fits for Giannis. And it's just, there's just more of an emphasis this coming season to find those role players, you know, and just work on those margins a little bit, JR. And then you hope that sets you up for, you know, continued success.
Yeah. You said something that really just crystallized for me. They probably, granted, they made this move for Horst before they knew the Lillard injury. They probably aren't bringing him back to trade Giannis, right? Like that is what you said, that's what he's done well, is build around Giannis and make all the moves with Giannis as the sun and everybody orbiting that. Why would they bring him back just to completely rebuild? If they wanted to do that, they would rebuild with a new general manager and figure it all out over again.
Yeah. I'm sure John listens to all these podcasts. We appreciate it, right?
Shouts to you, John Horst. Thanks for listening.
And I know he would want a job, right? And be secure and have his kids and family. And I don't know. There's a part of me that feels like, you know, he's been with Giannis for so long. Does he really want to be the guy that then has to do that, right? I don't know. I mean, that's why Bob Myers left Golden State, and they have way more rings, right? So I don't want to speak, but to me, I guess, kind of sarcasm aside to a degree, like I feel like it was a low key indicator that Giannis is good. I mean, I've been saying that for a year, 2 years, JR.
You're trying to. You're trying to break through the noise.
So, like, but you know, no one pays attention to that stuff, right? Because it's not sexy. It doesn't drive ratings. So
we need drama.
But like, it does show though that, you know, big fella's probably good. And yeah, this was a devastating injury, but I don't think that inherently changes, you know, how Giannis feels about Milwaukee, right? And the Bucks. So Horst coming back. Look, you could argue, JR, aside from the championship, some of his greatest like check marks pro column are two Giannis extensions, right? And in my opinion, will probably be a third, you know, in the next year and a half. So you know, it's just a little harder now going into this coming off season.
Damian Lillard, man, I will close on him because that's still obviously the topic of the day. I'm asking you to put on your medical hat. So we'll see how that goes, but I don't think there can be any connection between the time he necessarily missed because he had this deep vein thrombosis blood clot and then, you know, tearing the Achilles. It feels like they're separate, different legs, feels like different outcomes. I guess you could say, well, all that time off plays into not being like fully stretched out or whatever, but this was like his third game back. I don't feel like there's any connection there, but are there any stray thoughts as you look at this injury, any way they could have, I don't know, avoided it? Like, it just, I don't even know what to say. It's just crazy. This keeps happening to the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah. I mean, it is a different leg. You know, last year he did strain an Achilles. It was in the right calf. All of his calf injuries in his career, at least lately, last 4 years, have all been in the right side. But so, you know, maybe that's an indicator that he's just tight down there in the Achilles and the calves. We talked to him about that before he came back from game two, about being ready to play basketball, to not, you know, I think the way I phrased it was like strain a calf, strain a groin, pull a hamstring type of thing. And he's a pro athlete who knows his body. Like, he wasn't going to play if he thought he would do something like that, right? So I don't think, you know, that's just me personally. I think it's just one of those, JR, where it happened, you know. I'm sure some folks might look for correlations, and maybe there will be one. I don't know. But I feel like it's just, you know, terrible, terrible circumstance and terrible luck for Dame to have that happen. It's probably a year recovery, JR. I think, you know, look, if as Bobby Portis said, he's like, maybe they'll find another paraphrasing Bobby, like find another miracle kind of thing. Right. Cause he wasn't supposed to come back
right
in four weeks from the blood clot. I mean,
and Kobe now you Bryant, almost wish he hadn't. Would this have happened if he hadn't been playing? I mean,
it's hard to say.
What
right?
are you gonna say? Yeah.
You know, Clay Thompson
happens next year.
Clay Thompson blew a knee in the summer when he was coming back from one other injury, right? Like, you
right,
don't,
right,
it's course. Impossible to tell with ligaments. And look, Kobe Bryant tore his Achilles at 34, you know, Dame's about to be 35. Kobe was back in April, in early April, and was back in December. you know, that's, I'm sure Dame will hear that comparison, right?
I'm like, sure he will.
A guy who's going to want to work and do all that. And similar ages, right? Obviously, Dame's a much smaller player, if that matters at all. you know, and so, but most, for the most part, it's a full season, a full year. Now, obviously, Kevin Durant wasn't 34, but you, feels like you wouldn't even know Kevin Durant tore an Achilles 5 years ago, right? 5 or 6 years ago, whatever it was. So it is a different medicine's different, recovery's different. He is under contract. I'm guessing he'll opt into that final year of $58 million, JR. Whether he plays for the Bucks or if he, you know, is back and that's enough for who knows. But I do think Dame will be back. He is not the kind of guy where him sitting on the court or being helped to a tunnel is the last image of a Hall of Famer. Like, that's, to me, right, knowing him a little bit, that's unacceptable. So he'll be back for sure. What that looks like, when it actually is, you know, we'll see. But yeah, it's just a tough deal for a guy who has gone through a lot in his 2 years in Milwaukee, on and off the court, JR. Giannis talked about that. So yeah, you just kind of hope for the best for him and that, and whatever that is, right? That and recovery can begin quickly and, you know, he can heal as fast as possible.
What a challenge for John Horst to build this team back this offseason, not because we're going to hear, well, can Damian Lillard be back by the playoffs? I mean, December, January, February, whatever, but at the very least, that's going to be a consideration. People are going to wonder if he can be back. So do you build a team again that can be a supplement to Giannis and Dame, or do you build a team completely thinking of Dame as just an afterthought ingredient that you might add in the playoffs? But can you do that? Can you just add him in the play? Like, it's going to be a real difficult puzzle for John Horst, but this is a guy who puts together pretty good puzzles. He's done it in the past, and we'll see. Now that we know he's going to be the guy at the controls. Jim, any last thoughts before I send you away?
No, just, you know, be sure to subscribe, jsonline.com, download the app, turn on your alerts so you can get, you know, all the information when it happens, both with the hard news, features. I'll be down in Indy for Game 5. We'll see if there's a Game 6. And of course, you know, through whenever the off season begins.
Friday night at Pfizer Forum, if the Bucks are able to make it that far. Maybe they do. I could see it. You know, I could, maybe there's like this, you know, following because they got nothing to lose at this point situation that there's, like you said, back against the wall. But real tough road to hoe now without Damian Lillard. Thank you, Jim, for joining us here on the Point Forward podcast. Safe travels to Indianapolis. We'll talk to you again very soon.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward podcast, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JSOnline.com production.